Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
If Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? The wondrous Easter gospel has a corollary. As Christ is risen, so all the dead will rise. Some in Paul's Corinth didn't think so. St. Paul's Corinth, it seems, differs little from our world, whether in America or in Europe or in Soviet Russia, the former Soviet Union. The scientific community has held that man is a complex of chemicals and electrical impulses, and when the mechanism fails, that's the end. Religious people of all stripes are willing to go along with science in leaving the failed body in the ground or its ashes in the urn, but they add to this that people have some kind of immortal soul, and at death the soul leaves the old worn-out shell and continues on. The various spiritualities of our world are not unlike those of ancient Corinth. Now, as then, belief in an eternal existence of the spirit after death, but entirely apart from the body, has diffused its ghostly self even in the church. Those of us whom Christ has appointed teachers of the church boldly and loudly proclaim Christ crucified and risen, and thank God for that. But will we speak it as loudly from the other side? All three of our ecumenical creeds confess not only that Christ rose, but also that the dead will rise. The Apostles' Creed in Latin even says, Credo in carnis resurrectionem, I believe in the resurrection of the flesh. No wiggle room there. Yet this bold confession of Scripture and the creeds, that the graves will open and those who sleep in the dust of the earth will come forth, finds a surprisingly uncertain voice in some of our preaching and in some of our hymnody, even our Easter hymns. Not saying they're bad, they aren't, they're good. In one of those great hymns, we sing many wonderful things. It's founded upon the immortal words of Job, I know that my Redeemer lives. Yet for some odd reason, the hymn doesn't go on and finish what Job started when he said, And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. The death and burial segment of our previous hymnal, Lutheran Worship, contains not one single clear utterance of the blessed hope of the resurrection, just where you would expect to find it the most. In LSB, the Hope and Comfort section, by my count, goes 2 for 25. A big step forward, certainly. No, really, not bad. Scripture doesn't everywhere, every other sentence, say that the flesh rises from the grave, even though it's everywhere assumed, and it's assumed in many of our hymns. And no hymn can say everything. Yet more often than not, we are silent where the creed speaks, and we speak much where the creed is silent. In some of the hymns borrowed from other traditions, and in not a few of the funeral sermons heard in our parishes, when our eyelids close in death, we soar to worlds unknown, we leave this ailing body behind, our soul is at rest with God in heaven. End of story. Amen. Oh, good, I didn't hear any amens. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say amen to. Protestant popular piety in America and Orthodox popular piety in Russia simply aid and abet all of this. No wonder that our people's actual conception of eternal life in some cases is closer to the disembodied existence fantasized in Harry Potter than it is to the words of the Creed, "I look for the resurrection of the dead." In today's Neo-Corinthianism, the resurrection of the dead is not so much denied outright as it is not looked for, toned down, bypassed. Whether renounced or simply ignored, the body is left to decay in the ground. Talk about your left behind. Isn't this just hair splitting, really? Isn't it enough to say that the dead die in body but live on in spirit with their Lord? Not according to the apostle. If the dead are not raised, then the whole thing unravels, because if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ was raised. Paul, you see, grasped the real import of the incarnation. By taking on human flesh, the Son of God has become what we are. He has shared fully in the destiny of our race. In the flesh, he came to know the utter bitterness of temptation. He felt the sharp sting of the death brought into the world by Adam's sin. Yet it's impossible that God should become man only to leave man's destiny totally unchanged. By taking on human flesh, God's Holy Son sanctified human flesh. Coming in the likeness of sinful flesh, he bore our sin in his own body and thus redeemed human flesh. Rising from the dead, he justified all flesh. He is the last Adam who has transformed the deadly course set by the first Adam. By his resurrection, he created a new destiny for all mankind, so that on the last day, all children of Adam will rise from the grave, some to life, some to everlasting shame and contempt, but this only because they refused to receive the justification he won for their bodies with his sinless body. If the dead don't rise, then Christ hasn't risen, the apostles are false witnesses, the gospel is empty, your faith is in vain, you are yet in your sins. Oh, and by the way, those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. We can't have it both ways, a bodily resurrection for Christ and some kind of non-bodily resurrection for Christians. If sleeping Christians don't wake from the dust, Paul says, it's all over for them. If we're not raised, if Christ was not raised, we have hoped in Christ only in this life, for without the resurrection of the dead, there simply is no life to come for the soul, only everlasting death. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. As the first fruits, Christ is a sheaf from the same grain crop as the rest of us. He is bread from the same lump of dough. He's at once an offering to the Father and a pledge to us that the rest of the harvest will follow the first sheaf of grain. For if the first fruits is holy, so also the lump of dough. You are in Christ through faith in the gospel and through baptism. Your baptism, you know, carries with it the promise of resurrection on the last day, because as you were united with him in his death through water, so through the same water you will be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. The water is no ordinary bath. Still, it is a washing for the body as well as for the soul. And by its power, the Holy Spirit will one day quicken your mortal body to everlasting life. Jesus said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Even if you don't think John 6 is about the Eucharist, you can at least admit a secondary application. What you receive at the altar is not only for your soul's quickening, but for the eschatological quickening of your body as well. Even though here in this world your flesh and your heart fail, the risen Lord, nevertheless, is the strength of your heart and your portion forever. As surely as Christ is bodily present in the sacrament of the altar, his Christians will be bodily present in the kingdom of God. The real presence of the resurrected body of Christ in the supper and the real presence of your resurrected body at the marriage supper of the Lamb are of a single piece. Death is the last enemy. Although we cannot see beyond the grave, we can see much of the horror of death here in this life. We see how age disfigures bodies, how disease ravages bodies, how accidents maim bodies. We see how the dead slowly and most ungracefully return to dust. In short, we see something of the effects of sin. If the Lord doesn't return before that time, you too one day will take your place in the grave. Yet it won't be forever. Jesus has swallowed up death. After 3 days, 3 years, 3 centuries, 3 millennia, you will follow him in his resurrection, even as he preceded you in death. He will wake you as if from sleep. Christ is risen, never to die again, full of beauty and life and glory. He will raise his Christians the same way to be like him. The resurrection. This is what the church confesses as the Christian hope, and herein lies true comfort. Amen.